Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country.
That's novelist, playwright, and essayist James Baldwin speaking on The Negro and the American Promise. It was a television special produced by WGBH in Boston back in 1963, and the series included interviews with Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and it gripped the nation during a period of intense racial conflict in this country. And a warning here, the following cut has some stark language.
It is entirely up to the American people. And our representatives, it is entirely up to the American people whether or not they're going to face and deal with and embrace this stranger whom they maligned so long. What white people have to do is try to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a nigger in the first place. Because I'm not a nigger, I'm a man.
More than 50 years after that production on television, director Raoul Peck envisions Baldwin's final and unfinished project called Remember This House. It's a story of race in America and the subject of a new Oscar-nominated documentary, I Am Not Your Negro. Even though he wrote decades ago, there's a sense that James Baldwin was able to predict so much of the state of race and racism in America today. Peck recently sat down with Rebecca Carroll. She's WNYC's special projects producer, and they talked about the life of James Baldwin and the lessons he gave for a new era of civic engagement.
You know, there is this expression that now people use, white privilege. By the way, it can be black privilege sometimes. It can be many different color and shade privilege. In that case, the white privilege consists of you live in the world where you don't need to know. No, you have no obligation because you can live your life perfectly right without having to confront that. Whereas a black person in this country, you have to live through it every single day. You know, I consider myself a privileged person. You know, I can defend myself. I am not afraid. I will probably be protected if anything happened to me. But still, in my daily life, if I'm in a situation where I am going into an elevator and there is a young woman, white, in that elevator, I might not go in that elevator. It's just this half a second where you think about it. And I feel the thinking about it is already a problem.
For sure, you know? But you're saying that you make that choice
all the
for
time.
Her.
Yes, of course.
Make that concession for her.
Of course.
Why?
Of course. Because that's what you as, I would say, in a very philosophical way, you have to think for your other human being. It's my way to avoid a confrontation or to avoid an insecure moment that I did not create, but I know exists. And Baldwin say that too. You know, you cannot continue your life every minute to be engulfed in that sentiment or confront that anger, because what it does is to keep you busy in that anger, and you don't have no space anymore to think as a human being, as a universal person. So it's the trap, the anger that we have, all of us here, sometimes all the time, it's also a trap.
Apart from Baldwin's sort of obvious brilliance as a writer and public intellectual, he was just black as hell. Like, he just wore that like a badge, you know, and he just was in it, in people's faces about it, and probably would have gotten in that elevator.
Yeah, sometimes you don't get because you're tired. Yeah. You're just tired.
Because you're tired.
You can't
Absolutely.
Be fighting all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the thing.
Do you think at all about living with him today?
Well, there are a lot of voices missing. Can you imagine today's with Martin Luther King, with Malcolm X? But to answer your question, I read Baldwin like I would read a sort of philosophical manual or political manual or even a sort of non-religious Bible. You know, you can go back and take any sentence and just think about it. And it will suit you. It will give you guidance. It will structure you. And then you can fight again. And that's what Baldwin does. And so for me, Baldwin is the fundamental. You know, it helps you, it gives you instrument to think.
Obviously, he was a genius, but he had these ideas that were, at that time, certainly so deeply original and wild and bizarre and human, but human in a way that people didn't even know it was human before it was human.
Yeah. Well, I think he decided very early on that he wanted to exist, simply to exist.
That's beautiful.
And he took risk. You know, there is a wonderful moment in his life, or a wonderful hard moment, where, you know, a young black man living in Harlem, going down to the village, you know, trying to find who he is, knowing that if he stay in Harlem, taking care of his family because his father died, 8 children, he know that the circumstances of this poverty would kill him in many different ways, and also intellectually. And this was a young man who had already read a lot of books, who have seen films, a young man who knew there is a bigger world out there, and he wants to be part of it as a human being, not as a black man, as a human being.
He was exposed to all of these things and chose to exist, but also to engage. And yet there are thousands upon millions of people who don't. Why?
It's a responsibility, and I think that's what Baldwin tells us as well. You know, we have to stop to be spectators, you know. We have to be actors. And the non-activity is the problem. It's like we are consumer of everything, and we give certain identity to part of the population. Mm-hmm. So that small group are the activists, and they are the one who demonstrate. They are the one who are yelling or fighting. But the bigger problem is the whole majority of people who stop being activists, or what I call who stop being real citizen. Because for me, the title citizen means something. Mm-hmm. It means your interest in the matter of the city, meaning your life, the life of your children, your husband, your neighbors, of your community. When I was in college, in university, I was privileged to be in Berlin, which was a big cultural city, but also a very political city. And I remember each time there was an important issue, we would go in the streets, and there were many nationalities, and there were also our teachers were there. Academia was in the street. We had discussion when we went back to school. And now I don't see that mix of energy. Mm-hmm. I don't see the elders with those young people in Black Lives Matter. When I watched the civil rights movement, it was a large coalition of people, you know, women, men, religious organization, unions, Jewish organization, Latinos, youth organizations, even the Scouts of America. And now all those organizations are, you know, in their own bubble. You know, we need to, again, learn to talk to each other.
That's Raoul Peck, director of the new documentary, I Am Not Your Negro, in conversation with WNYC's Rebecca Carroll. To watch their full discussion, you can head to our website at thetakeaway.org.